Climbing Niigata, recorded by Harry Baya, June 19, 2020. Climbing Niigata. If you use Google Earth to view Caracas, Venezuela, you will see that it is separated from the Caribbean Ocean by a mountain range. No matter where you were in Caracas, you could see those mountains towering over you. These were part of the Andes mountain range. The tallest mountain near Caracas was Niigata, with a peak of 8,054 feet above sea level. Caracas, in a valley next to this range of mountains, was around 3,200 feet above sea level. To climb Niigata from Caracas, you would need to go up almost 5,000 feet, a not insignificant climb. When we read about mountain climbing, we often read of freezing temperatures, dangerous snow and ice, and dangerous slopes and cliffs to be scaled. Niigata was not like that. Climbing Niigata from Caracas meant walking up a long, winding path for hours in pleasant weather. The base of the mountain was in fairly thick tropical jungle, and this continued for a little while, but it soon grew sparse. At some point, the vegetation was much lighter, mostly high grass with low bushes and no large trees. In spite of the facts, I would like you to imagine that I am a courageous explorer who managed to survive the perilous ascent and descent of Niigata Mountain. It was long ago, probably around the summer of 1956, and you can imagine, if you like, the dangerous beasts and indigenous Indians of the era and the degree of danger in such an undertaking. Our climbing group consisted of about 20 teenage boys and girls. Most of us had no previous mountain climbing experience, though a few of the party had previously climbed Niigata on a similar outing. The outing was sponsored by the YMCA Boys and Girls Clubs we belonged to, and we had two or three adults with us. One or more of the adults had previously climbed Niigata. We went out to a YMCA camp, Camp Schlageter, in the late afternoon and were told to get some sleep, if we could, before we would begin our ascent around midnight. We each had a small backpack with water and snacks. I recall that apples and oranges were recommended, and we should bring something to eat for breakfast at the top of the mountain. We were leaving at midnight so that the ascent would be done at night and early morning before the sun rose. The sun would bake down on the mountain once it was up. It was a clear night near a full moon. The beginning part of the trail was in fairly dense jungle, but within 30 minutes or so we were out of the trees into a mountainside of bushes and tall grass. We wore sneakers, kids, for the climb. The weather was pleasant at midnight, but we knew we would be in the hot sun coming down. We also wore long-sleeved shirts or light jackets because we were told it might be chilly at the top of the mountain, maybe as low as 45 degrees Fahrenheit. We were roughly evenly divided between boys and girls. We began walking up the trail at midnight and expected to reach the top before dawn, around 6 a.m. The narrow trail forced us to walk single file, and before long we began to get spread out. It was fairly dark during the first part of the trip because we were in the trees, but the trail was fairly clear. Going up and down the mountain, we could hear the voices of others ahead and behind us on the trail. The trail was constantly turning so that it was not too steep, and this meant that others as close as 20 or 30 feet ahead on the trail were often out of sight. I remember that it seemed kind of eerie to me that I could sometimes hear voices of people who were actually 100 yards or more away from me on the winding path. Sometimes I could see them on the trail, maybe 30 yards straight up the hillside from me, but actually maybe 10 minutes or more up the mountain along the winding trail. I recall being offered an apple from a friend who would wait for me to catch up, and she had to wait about 5 minutes even though we had thought we were close to each other. The leaders called for a rest break in a clearing about halfway up. By this time we had been walking for a few hours. A few people were having some problems, like blisters or aching muscles, but nothing bad enough to keep them from going the rest of the way. We rested for about 45 minutes. The stragglers came in at least 20 minutes after the leaders. We resumed walking. I remember that one of the more athletic boys, Paul Herring, would explore far ahead of the rest of us, then come down to share what he had seen before going back out. Near the top of the mountain, we arrived at a clearing. It was about 15 minutes below the peak. We gathered there to rest. We were tired, and it was chilly. I recall that we kind of laid down in a collected pile in the middle of the clearing. After a while, our leaders got us up and moving so that we could be on the peak to see the sunrise over the ocean. It was an absolutely glorious experience. We watched the sun break the surface of the ocean on the far-off horizon. Before the sun rose, the ocean was dark, and the mountain and coast were black and hard to see. That changed quickly. The sun brightly lit everything. It was a clear day, and we could see the towns on the shoreline of the ocean side far below us. We could see the town of Maiquetía on the coast about 30 miles away. This was then the main airport for Caracas, and we could see the runways. In my memory, the sea is a bright blue, and the jungle on the mountainside is a lush green. By turning around, we could look down the other side of the mountain to see the city of Caracas in its valley. Though it was hard to distinguish particular houses, we could make out the Tamanaco Hotel at the end of the valley spur that held the neighborhood of Las Mercedes, where many of us lived. Behind the Tamanaco were high hills covered with jungle. We stayed there for maybe an hour, ate whatever breakfast we had brought, and began the descent back to Camp Schlageter. We were spread out on the way down, and at times I was alone. By mid-morning the sun was blazing, and luckily we had been told to bring enough water to get us comfortably through this phase. I and some other boys noticed that there were places where we could sit down and slide on the tall grass, like being on snow. It might have been a little dangerous, but we had just come up, and we had not seen any big drops. I remember at one point I shot off a ridge, flew over a path, and continued sliding along the grass on the other side. Some of our group on the path saw me and yelled hello. Did this really happen? It's all so long ago. Though it took less time to go down than come up, it still took hours, and was in some ways more tiring than coming up had been. The path ended by the waterfall and a natural pool that was part of Camp Schlageter. I remember jumping in and experiencing the ice-cold water on my sun-heated skin. That memory is almost as strong as the one from watching the sun light up the coast and the mountain. I loved it all, and this trip up and down the mountain is one of my happiest memories.